Let's open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we acknowledge that you are the one who has provided the opportunities for us to receive from your Spirit the opportunities that you give for us to receive change and transformation and the renewing of the mind as your ministry and gift to us. So we pray as we study these important texts on relationships that your Spirit would impress upon our hearts, implant within our hearts those truths that are true for your kingdom and for your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. Last week we took verses 1 through 3. Our focus this morning will be on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. We'll read from verse 1. Children, be continually obeying your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Be continually honoring your father and mother, which is the first commandment in promise. Its purpose, in order that it might become well for you, and you might live or be a long time upon the earth. And fathers, stop provoking your children to wrath, but be continually raising them up or nurturing them in the discipline and admonition or warning of the Lord. Paul, in describing this new life, he says in Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 18 that we are to be continually looking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By filled, the Greek text indicates that the human faculties are filled and influenced by His Spirit. Several different times in the book of Acts, it tells us that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit left them and they had to be refilled. The Holy Spirit is constantly present in my spirit. But there are times when I am in the flesh, in the human. I am to seek to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit in all that I do, in all that I say. And so in this particular section, Paul is addressing Christians, a believing mother, believing father, with their children, and how God wants His family households to be run. The reason being, as we saw at the end of Ephesians chapter 5, was because the way God has designed marriage to be, is He has designed marriage to represent Christ and the church. And that is our testimony. So we're like miniature churches that God has placed into different neighborhoods and different areas. And when we get together, all of our families come together as one big family in Christ. But marriage is to represent Christ and the church. The man is, or husband is to represent Christ and is the head of the household, head of the wife. The wife is to be in submission according as the church is to Jesus Christ. So there's a living testimony there in relationship. But as we moved into chapter 6 last week, we saw that verses 1 through 4 have to do with the proper order of the family. Not just husband and wife from the end of chapter 5, but also children and their parents, parents and their children, and then slaves and their masters, that would finish up this section up to and through verse 9. We'll take next week. But he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, And we pointed that out to you, that it's the word means any age, anybody born to a parent or parents. This is a born person. So it's anybody from infant to before marriage. Children, be continually obeying your parents in the Lord. It shows a present imperative that we're to continue to obey parents. The word obey means to put your hearing under. And it means to pay attention to the voice of your parents and listen for the Lord in your parents. And as we discussed last week, it's because the young people and children have not had the experience in life, have not even had the physical brain development that is necessary for judgment. And some people might take offense at that, but it's a fact that the human brain, as far as the judgmental part and function of the brain, is not fully developed till a person's at around 25 years of age. And so parents are there, and children are called upon to continually put their hearing under the parents. The parents are like the mediator between them and the Lord. The Lord has appointed the parents, first of all, in setting up the relationship between husband and wife as Christ and the church, but then with the children as well, as the parents represent Christ to their children. And so they are to be continually obedient to your parents in the Lord. And again, we're talking about parents who are saved. He says, for this is right. And the word right is the word righteous. And it represents the fact that this command, it lines up with God's plan and design. That's what righteous means. It means to be lined up rightly with the Lord and His ways. And so this is right. This is lined up with God's design and plan for the children to do. The second command's in verse 2. Be continually honoring your father and mother, which is the first command in promise, in showing location, in the promise itself. So be continually honoring. The word honor means to assess value on something. And so the children are to consider the parents as a very valuable tool and vessel of the Lord. And the Lord is going to use them to speak through and minister to the children. And so they are to honor their parents, which is the first commandment in promise. The commandment is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. The first of the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments have to do with a person's relationship with God. The last six of the Ten Commandments have to do with a person's relationship with other people. This commandment is the first of the commandments having to do with people, and it's the only commandment in the Ten Commandments that has to do with family, and that is to honor your mother and father, and which is the first commandment in promise. So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we saw last week, and it's very important to understand Exodus 20:12 in context. It says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. That's the Hebrew rendering. The Greek rendering of Exodus 20:12 is the good land, agathos land. And so what he's saying is, it's not talking about lifespan, but rather the time spent in God's provision and promise for those who obey Him. So the first commandment in promise is honor your father and your mother. All relationships are formed off of the relationship we have formed with our mothers and our fathers. Relationships are learned. And that's why Satan attacks the family and messes up relationships. So that when we go out and we start our own families and teach them or set out in life to live with our own families, is that everything is just out of line as far as God's purpose is concerned. That's Satan's whole motive to go out and attack the family. Because he knows that the family is like a miniature church. And God has set it up to represent him that way. And that if he can mess up the relationships between the children and their parents, they're going to have trouble with relationships the rest of their lives until, of course, the Lord heals and restores that function. So it says in verse 3, the consequences of these two commands, be continually obedient to your parents, be continually honoring your mother and father. Two things, in order that it might become well for you. That's quality of life. In order that it might become well with you and quantity of life, you might have a long time upon the earth. And as I pointed out to you from Exodus chapter 20, not upon the earth as far as longevity of time, but upon specifically the command in Exodus 20:12 is upon the promised land. And you see down through history that Israel was constantly being removed from their homeland and taken captive by other nations. It's because they did not obey the command. Not just this command, but all commands. In order that it might be well with you. Now, last week I read to you from Exodus 21, verses 15 and 17, to show you the seriousness in the Old Testament under the law to this command. Exodus 21:15 says, and he that strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21:17. And he that curses his father and mother, the word curse means to insult. The Septuagint uses to speak against. Father or mother shall surely be put to death. Now, we don't live under the law. And certainly that does not oversee and rule over our responses to disobedient children. But that just goes to show you the age of grace in which we live. Is that in the Old Testament, if the children were to strike, hit, or speak against their parents, they'd be taken out and put to death. That's how serious God considers this. Of course, we don't carry this out today. And some have wondered what we use the creek for with all those rocks over there. But no one's buried there that I know of. So, in Leviticus 20, verse 9, it says, everyone that curses his father and mother shall surely be put to death. He that has cursed or spoken against his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. That is, your blood will be spilled. You will be put to death. In verse 4, the last verse that has to do with the proper order of the family has to do with the parents. It's only one verse, but it's loaded, as you might imagine. First of all, in verse 4, we have the commands. There's two of them. One is a negative command, one's a positive command, if you want to put it in those categories. It says, first of all, and fathers. English translations say parents. And that is, anytime you have the term father in the plural in reference to family, it's making reference to parents, both parents. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a goodly child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So when it says fathers, it's parents. The fathers are the heads of the family, so they use the plural of father to represent both parents. But notice the literal translation of this command. Stop provoking your children to anger. In other words, it's already going on. The provoking of the children to anger. What does it mean to provoke a child? It means to discipline them or punish them for seemingly no reason, bringing them to the point of frustration and discouragement. One of the customers I used to have a gardening business, and one of the customers I used to have would come in and give me a cup of coffee. We'd talk for a while, but he would talk about how he used to come home from work, round up all the kids and give them all spankings. And when they would cry and get frustrated, and they said, "What'd you do this for?" "Well, I know you must have done something wrong today." So he gave them a spanking because he knew they did something wrong. It's just to keep them in line, supposedly. But that brings frustration. You get punished for something you didn't do, or you know you did do wrong, but hey, I didn't get caught. What, you don't know that. What's the deal here, you know? So it's really bringing discipline or punishment to a child that's going to bring them to frustration and discouragement, and that's what the Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 tells us. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The discipline must represent the crime. And you have to understand that we parents, we're the stopgap for the Lord. We represent the physical vessels for the Lord to use. But what we're training our children to do is to obey the word. The word of the parents, because when they get out on their own, they will not have that intermediary there. And they are going to have to respond to the word of God. If you disobey the word of God, God disciplines you. So there's a training there to teach the children to listen to the word. If you violate the word, there will be consequences. But there is also a type of discipline and punishment. It's not really discipline, it is punishment. When we're in a bad mood and we decide that we're going to take it out on the family, that's punishment to the point of frustration. It's for no purpose. There's nothing to it. Even the discipline in a situation that causes the brain to realize that if you disobey the word, there are consequences. And once that becomes instilled within the child can make choices when they get out on their own, because they're still, whether they believe or not. I saw a clip last night on Justin Bieber. You're familiar with that? You know, they said you're either a believer or a non-believer. So this command, stop provoking your children. Number one, it implies that it is already going on. That it is a repeated pattern. That the parents are provoking their children. Now, just the command itself for the Romans. Remember, this is written to all of God's people, but the Gentiles, and especially those living within the Roman provinces under the aegis of the Roman Empire, is that they had a law which is called patria potestas. Patria potestas. And it goes something like this. The father in the household has virtually the authority of life and death over everybody in his family. Not only his slaves, but also the entire household. He can, if he gets angry with you and he's fed up with you or whatever the case may be, he can have you taken out and killed without answering to anybody. He could throw anybody or cast anyone out of the household. He could sell them as slaves, even members of his own family if he wanted to, sell them into slavery, or even have them taken out and killed and be accountable to no one. But the father, the head of the household, has this kind of authority as to who lives and who doesn't within his own household. A newborn baby is placed at his father's feet. If the father picks up the child is then welcomed into the household. If the father just looks at the child and walks away, the baby is disposed of. Think there wasn't provoking going on? Where Roman law gave the father, the head of the household, this kind of authority? And it's not a crime. So it's not surprising that Paul would say, stop provoking. You are repeatedly provoking your children. It is a pattern that you use for the raising of your household. Stop it. But rather, the positive command, be raising them up. And again, this is be continually bringing them up in the discipline and admonition or warning of the Lord. To be continually raising them up, first of all, in the King James says nourishing them, but it's the word for child training. It's the word for discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 11, it talks about how the Lord disciplines us. But there are some phrases in here that if you listen to it, it makes sense based on some of the history I just gave you. Hebrews 12:6 starts out, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Same word that we have in our text. He disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening or discipline, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? But if you are without discipline or chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards, illegitimate, and you're not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they truly for a few days chastened and disciplined us after their own pleasure. Now you know what that means. Not only did they show reverence, they were scared half to death. Yes, sir. And the fathers disciplined everyone in the household according to his own pleasure. But he, that is God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening or discipline for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So he says, if you're a child of God, God will discipline you. Now, you know what that is, basically, is what he's saying. You have fathers that disciplined you according to their pleasure. But God's going to do it for your benefit. If you're exercised by God's discipline, you'll reap the fruit of righteousness, and you will be able to partake of his holiness. So there's a purpose in it. But I think that's very interesting in light of the history behind some of the Roman Empire laws and rules and regulations, that some of the most terrible treatment of human beings is legal. Because the head of the household, the father, has that kind of authority. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's basically what Paul is saying here. Be continually nourishing them up in a systematic training. And it's the systematic training of the Lord. It's not just human. It's training them and preparing them to go out on their own and have a healthy response to the Lord. Have a healthy respect for God's word. But to be continually raising and bringing them up in the systematic training of the Lord and admonition of the Lord. Admonition means warning. The Greek word literally means to place in the mind. And this again is attached to the term of the Lord. It's not threatening, it's warning. You train them up in the ways of the Lord, and if they disobey, they should be told. The Lord is not slack when it comes to discipline. You disobey his word. In fact, for everybody, believers and non-believers. Galatians chapter 6 comes into play, is that whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. During the sowing period and the growing period, it might seem like a person's getting away with something. But we will reap what we have sown. If you sow to the flesh or sow to the spirit, it'll either turn out well for us in quality of life. It will be, most of our, if not all of our time spent living upon the earth will be spent in God's provision. And not wandering, looking for the promised land. God is very faithful to provide for us and for his people. So we need to warn the children. The seriousness of not taking God's word serious enough and the consequences of disobedience to the Lord. Again, most young people will say, well, I don't believe that stuff in the Bible, so therefore that discipline and consequence does not apply to me. Like I said, it's for believer and non-believer. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not, it's God's rule. It's like somebody going up to a top of a skyscraper and jumping off and saying, I don't believe in the law of gravity. I'm a non-believer when it comes to the law of gravity. Well, you're going to experience the law of gravity anyway. There are spiritual laws that God has set. And it doesn't make any difference if Christianity is your religion or not, as the world would say. We proclaim a gospel in which God's laws and rules and regulations are already established. If you choose not to believe them, you're putting yourself in a position to experience the consequences, reaping the consequences of disobedience to the Word of God. So it's quite a jam-packed verse, Ephesians 6:4. And parents, stop provoking your children to anger or frustration or discouragement, but in sharp contrast, be continually bringing them up or raising them up in the systematic training and warning of the Lord. So not only does marriage represent the church, but parents are to turn right around and raise their children as best they can, because one day those children are going to be out on their own. And what kind of understanding, what kind of respect are they going to have for the Lord and the things of the Lord? That's the question. And we are to take this seriously, realizing that we can abuse our authority and make it be according to our whims or our moods, when in reality, instead of training up our children so that they become so emotionally attached to us that they will not want to leave home, or when they do leave home, they're going to have a room available for mom and dad in the back. Everybody's going to stay together and be happy forever. That's not how it works. That's why at the end of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that the man should leave mother and father and cleave to the wife. They begin a new beginning. I always bring up the example of the birds. We've always had a problem here with birds building their nests in the eaves of the church, mainly because the wood was rotted away and they found a way to make a nest in it, at least there for a while. And I'm amazed at how, you know, once the baby birds hatch all day long, those birds are going back and forth feeding them. And it's like, I never hear a horn or a bell that says lunchtime for you, or you know, time's up, you put in your 8 hours. They sacrifice themselves to raise those birds so that the birds can get out, fly on their own, and get their own food, function on their own. But how we fight against the sacrifice that it takes to raise our children, not just in the function of life in of itself, the physical horizontal life that we live in, but to walk with the Lord. And I'm one of those who stands with the fact that if your children are not obeying the Lord, that they should suffer the consequences, because that's God's way of reaching people. And if they're disobeying the Lord, I cannot help them except to show them the path back to the Lord and to explain to them. That's what warning means, is to place in their mind, you see what's happening. The reason it's happening is because you are disobedient to what God says in His Word. And that's your choice. You can keep going this way, or you can repent and come back and be under the quality and quantity of life that God has for you. But one of the things I have to be careful about in the management of my household is to make sure that I'm not supporting my children's disobedience. That's very important, because God has the reaping and sowing there as a teaching, as a way to reach people. I don't want to cushion that. If a person is disobedient to the Lord, they should suffer for it. It's God's gift to them, so they can realize their need for Christ. Well, next week, and you might think that it's boring, but it won't. won't be. Verses 5 through 9, masters and slaves. Or in our particular situation, employers and employees. Some people think it's the same thing. Can be. In principle. And then after that, we'll be in the study of the armor of God, which is a good study in and of itself. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word that is just so powerful. We pray that as mothers and fathers, as brothers and sisters, as parents, as children, as fellow believers in the Lord, that you by your Spirit would renew our minds with the purpose and the design that you have made for marriage as well as family and family relationships and the purpose for it all spiritually. We pray that your Spirit would enlighten us, give us the courage, give us the influence of your Spirit to make the decisions we need to make to represent you to all of those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.